Good morning, and welcome to Advent at St. Margaret's Chipstead. My name is John Waits, and I'm the Honorary Curate of St. Margaret's. Now, Advent is an important season in the Church's calendar, and it has two meanings. There is obviously the Advent, the waiting, the adventure, waiting for Christmas time, and doubtless we prepare for that in different ways. Advent calendars, Christmas cards, Christmas trees, if you like. All of those things are there to express our joy at the coming of our Lord for the first time at Bethlehem. But my friends, there is a second reason for celebrating Advent. It is that we also think of the second coming of our Lord. That is when we present ourselves in our final form, and that also needs preparation. So Advent is a season when we prepare a little bit like Lent, perhaps leave things out, more spiritual practices, to prepare ourselves for the second coming. But do not worry, we have a wonderful way of remembering all that. This is the Advent horn, or the Dutch midwinter horn. It was played over Wells in very, very ancient times. It's a prehistoric instrument. You can see it's possibly modelled on a mammoth's tusk. And it was played in the eastern area of Holland, the Netherlands, over Wells at the time of the winter solstice. The idea behind it was that they would play over Wells at the winter solstice to keep the evil spirits who lived in the Wells down the Wells with the sound of the Advent horn. They would not dare to come out over the winter solstice, and therefore the sun would come back again, would not be frightened away, the sun would come back, and the days would lengthen, and all would be well for another year, thanks to the Advent horn. Now, of course, when the Christians came, they said, you can't have all that nonsense about evil spirits living down wells. So, because no horn player likes to give up a good job, they said, well, in that case, we will change, and we will play it over the Christmas period, from Advent Sunday through to Epiphany, over the winter solstice, of course, and we will play it with two things in mind. Firstly, there is the joy of the coming of our Lord at Christmas time, the angels playing over Bethlehem and sounding their trumpets to welcome the Lord. But also, there will be that other meaning to it as well. It will symbolize the last fearful trump that will sound when the world comes to an end and Christ comes again in glory, or when we have to meet our Maker. And those are the two meanings of the Advent horn. So here we are at the Well House Inn. What more appropriate place could there be to sound the midwinter Advent horn to keep evil spirits down wells than at the Well House Inn?
Our church building remains open for private prayer between the hours of 1:30 and 3 p.m. on Sunday and Wednesday afternoons. Following Boris Johnson's announcement, we are able to resume live services. On Saturday the 5th of December, we have Messy Christmas both live and online between the hours of 3 and 4 p.m. Please contact Abby about the resource bags and the resources you need, but also to book a place if you are coming live to Messy Christmas. You can contact her at families@smchipstead.org. On Sunday the 6th of December, we resume our live service in church and also our children's groups down in the orchard from 10 a.m. and I look forward to seeing some of you there. On Sunday the 13th of December, we will be holding a Christingle service in church, for which you must book a place if you are coming to the live service. Please contact Deborah after Wednesday the 2nd of December if you want to book a place at our Christingle service. The Christingle service will also be running online as well, so you are able to join in from home. And again, Abby can give you details about the resources that you will need for the Christingle service. May God bless you and keep you in the coming days and weeks. Each year we light the Advent wreath candles. This, of course, is Advent 1, the beginning of the church calendar, when we prepare to greet the newborn King, Christ, God with us. You might want to make an Advent wreath at home so that as we light the candles here each week, you also can light one in your own home. Let us pray as we light the first candle. People of God, awake. The day is coming soon when you shall see God face to face. Remember the ways and the works of God. God calls you out of darkness to walk in the light of his coming. You are God's children. Lord, make us one as we walk with Christ today and forever. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts be open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. God spake these words and said, I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have none other gods but me. Lord, have mercy upon us, and incline our hearts to keep this law. Thou shalt not make to thyself any graven image, nor the likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, or in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down to them, nor worship them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, and visit the sins of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and show mercy unto thousands in them that love me and keep my commandments. Lord, have mercy upon us, and incline our hearts to keep this law. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Lord, have mercy upon us, and incline our hearts to keep this law. Remember that thou keep holy the Sabbath day. 6 days shalt thou labour, and do all that thou hast to do. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt do no manner of work, thou and thy son and thy daughter, thy manservant and thy maidservant, thy cattle and the stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and hallowed it. Lord, have mercy upon us, and incline our hearts to keep this law. Honour thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Lord, have mercy upon us, and incline our hearts to keep this law. Thou shalt do no murder. Lord, have mercy upon us, and incline our hearts to keep this law. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Lord, have mercy upon us, and incline our hearts to keep this law. Thou shalt not steal. Lord, have mercy upon us, and incline our hearts to keep this law. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbour. Lord, have mercy upon us, and incline our hearts to keep this law. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbour's house.
Thou shalt not cover thy neighbour's wife, nor his servant, nor his maid, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is his. Lord, have mercy upon us, and write all these thy laws in our hearts, we beseech thee. Almighty God, whose kingdom is everlasting and power infinite, have mercy upon the whole church, and so rule the heart of thy chosen servant, Elizabeth, our queen and governor, that she, knowing whose minister she is, may above all things seek thy honour and glory, and that we and all her subjects, duly considering whose authority she hath, may faithfully serve, honour, and humbly obey her in thee and for thee, according to thy blessed word and ordinance, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost liveth and reigneth, ever one God, world without end. Amen. The Lord be with you, and with thy spirit. Let us pray.
Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and to put on the armour of light, now in the time of this mortal life, in which your Son, Jesus Christ, came to us in great humility, that on the last day, when he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge the living and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal, through him who is alive and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen.
The lesson is taken from chapter 3 of the book of Colossians, from verses 12 to 17 and 23 to 24. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Give thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. The birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me according to your word. Then the angel left her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one Catholic and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
I've lit the first Advent candle. You might notice, if you look carefully, that these candles aren't perfect. I've used them before, and I was very tempted to get new ones out of the box, but I remembered a conversation that we had in Life Group this week, when we were discussing how much God loves us, with all our flaws and brokenness, but also how he longs for us to find healing and wholeness in him. And so that's why my candles are not perfect, just as we are not perfect. As a child, I used to enjoy those silly sayings such as, I used to be indecisive, now I'm just not sure. Our ability or not to make instant decisions is dependent to a very large extent on our personality type. It can be good to have somebody around who makes instant judgment calls until they make the wrong choice and realise that they should have waited for more information to come in or for more people to be on board with their idea. Equally, it can be good to be led by somebody who likes to wait for all the information to come in and make an informed decision until the time when an instant decision is called for. I suspect that most of us are reasonably good at deciding when it's better to make snap judgments and when it's right to take our time. This week, we're considering the holy habit of prayer, and our particular theme is wholeheartedness. Whenever we make decisions, whether they're snap judgments or well thought out with all the information to hand, we need to be wholehearted. I wonder, what does it look like to be half-hearted? What does it look like to be whole-hearted? And to which are we called? There's no way, is there, that Mary could have been half-hearted. After all, you're either pregnant or you're not. Although it's true that you can be not too far gone in your pregnancy, you can't be a little pregnant. It's a condition that affects every aspect of your body as the hormones are carried around through your whole system. Is our faith present in every aspect of our lives? or merely in some? Is it clear to most people who know you that you are a Christian? Or is your faith hidden from some? When I think about half-heartedness, the verses that spring to mind are from Revelation chapter 3 and are addressed to the angel of the church in Laodicea. I know your works. You are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. The chapter before our reading from Colossians, Paul has said, I want you to know how much I am struggling for you and for those in Laodicea, and for all who have not seen me face to face. I want their hearts to be encouraged and united in love, so that they may have all the riches of assured understanding and have the knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I wonder sometimes if the church, and I'm not talking specifically about us here, has been good at sharing the knowledge of God's mystery, the treasures of wisdom and knowledge that lie in Christ, or if we've been wishy-washy in our teaching and tepid in our following of Christ, and therefore are of little use. At the beginning of chapter 3, Paul told us that if we have died to self and risen with Christ, we are to seek the things that are above. And in today's reading, he is reminding us of how God's chosen ones are to comport themselves. God's chosen ones are holy and beloved. Holiness, may I remind you, means set apart for God. But it's only possible, I believe, to be holy when we also know ourselves to be beloved, beloved of God. And how do we know ourselves to be God's beloved ones? Well, I think it's when we look into his face, when we keep our eyes fixed on the one who is above. Because when we look at God who, as he is, that we see just how much he loves us. I'm wondering, and it's really frustrating sometimes, talking to a camera, because I won't be able to see any nods or smiles to know how many I'm addressing. But I wonder if you saw the episode of The Big Bang Theory called The Intimacy Acceleration, when Amy came across a technique that makes people fall in love. Sheldon, her boyfriend, and the perpetual skeptic, agreed to test the technique out with his best friend's fiancée, Penny. So they went into another room, and they asked each other a set of increasingly in-depth and personal questions, and then capped that off with 4 minutes of staring directly into each other's eyes. They didn't fall in love, but they did happily reflect on their friendship and found that they were not only more open with each other after that, but also that through that experiment they came to understand themselves better. At Life Group on Tuesday, we were discussing prayer and how some are more able to be more open with God than others. We talked around being able to express all of our emotions to God and whether that was good or not, and the sort of emotions that we felt able to express, whether that was anger and fear, perhaps doubts, but also praise and thanks. Some said that they found it far easier to express doubts and fears than to be able to give thanks, and some the opposite. We also discussed whether our intercessions in church are phrased less for God and more bearing in mind the other people who are present in church with us. Is that good or bad? Our discussion was good because it caused us all to think about how we relate to God and why we relate to God in that way. and I suspect that we now all want to go far deeper with God. In the intimacy acceleration, Penny and Sheldon, as I've said, asked each other a set of increasingly in-depth and personal questions. Can we do that with God? Can we bare our souls and ask those questions we might usually avoid asking because we don't like to make ourselves vulnerable? Can I remind you that God modelled the way of vulnerability in coming to earth and being born as a tiny, vulnerable baby, dependent on humans for his every need? It's when we name to God our anger or our deepest fears and insecurities, and then hold them in the conversation between us, in the stillness, the waiting, that we're able to see what God wants to show us and how he can set our feet onto the way of healing and peace. I wonder how often in prayer we instead tell God everything, just keep talking, and then expect him to sort it out. But isn't that passing the buck? Isn't it, as Rachel said a couple of weeks ago, a shopping list of requests rather than true prayer? Isn't that treating God as though he is there to pander to all our needs, making ourselves the centre of the universe? Do we often use conversation to reduce intimacy and keep God at a distance? Why is it that we can find it easier speaking to God in prayer than it is sitting in silence in God's presence? Is it partly because in the busyness of life, we're not used to times of stillness and silence, times of reflection, times of asking those bigger questions? Is it because in the stillness and in the silence, he is able to make himself heard, and that we can feel uncomfortable because of what he might reveal to us? Is it because what he reveals to us might mean that we realise that we need to make changes? And doesn't this take us back to Psalm 139, which we heard read a few weeks ago? Examine me, O God, and know my mind. Test me and discover my thoughts. Find out if there is any evil in me, and guide me in the everlasting way. Being examined or tested takes time. It means being patient, as anyone who's been a patient and sat in a waiting room knows. Sorry, I couldn't resist the pun on words. God already knows all about us. But when we come knowingly into God's presence and wait patiently in stillness before him, he is able to hold up a mirror and enable us to see that which we might not have noticed before. It's a little like the technique used when mentoring somebody, when the conversation is held in the middle between the mentor and the mentee, and questions are asked which caused the mentee to come to realisations without being directed or having anything spelled out. The questions are very different to those used in counselling sessions, but they are transformative. Prayer, conversation with God, is as much about the stillness and listening as it is about being prepared to be open and honest and make ourselves vulnerable with what we say. But it's only in that time with God that he is able to continue his work of bringing healing, of stripping away the prejudices, the preconceptions, perhaps the destructive patterns we learned as a child when we were conditioned on how we should behave in our society. And it's when he does that that we are better able to achieve the God-given potential with which he created us. Over the summer, and I have mentioned this to you before, I spent many weeks slowly working through the book Landmarks by Margaret Silf, sometimes reflecting on just one paragraph for more than a day. And I wish that I could manufacture time for all of you so that you could spend time working through this book, which is based on the first week of the 30-day spiritual exercises of Ignatius of Loyola, or going through the whole 30-day experience, because it is transforming. The focus of the book is to help us to realise that our deepest desire is actually for connection with God, greater intimacy with God. Too often I think we aren't sure of the way to gain that deeper level of relationship, or we're scared about what we may find out about ourselves. Sometimes in our quest for more, for that thing that calls to us but we aren't sure what it is, we've replaced that fundamental desire that's built in us by the one who created us with destructive habits or pastimes. Our greatest desire for connection with God does require vulnerability, openness, honesty, and the willingness to see ourselves warts and all, and to trust in God so that he can effect change. And that requires that we come before God in stillness, in prayer, sitting in his presence, and then honestly answering the questions that he brings into our minds in the light of his word. And that's word with a capital W, the word made flesh who came and dwelt among us. In this way, we're wholehearted in prayer and find ourselves as people of the way, know ourselves to be God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, who can be transformed and healed in his light. I'm going to close with the final blessing from Landmarks by Margaret Silf. And I do pray that through it, and through the power of his Holy Spirit, God will speak into our hearts and minds. Indeed, God being who he is, he gives his special blessing upon those very places where we ourselves feel most vulnerable and broken and lost. Let us share that blessing now, free of regret for the landmarks we have missed, alert and alive with trust for all that lies ahead. I bless the poverty in your heart that knows its own emptiness, because that gives me space to grow my kingdom there. I bless that in you that touches others gently, because everyone responds to gentleness, and gentleness can capture even hardened hearts. I bless that in you that grieves and aches for all that is lost or can never be, because that is my opportunity to comfort you with my much greater love. I bless that in you which longs and strives after your own deepest truth and after truth for the world, because even as you pray, I am constantly satisfying these deep, unspoken longings. I bless you every time you show mercy and forgiveness, because that is like a little window in your heart, setting you free from resentment and opening up a space for me to enter and to heal. I bless the purity of your heart, because that is the elusive centre where your deepest desire meets mine. That is where we meet face to face. I bless the peacemaker in you, that in you which seeks the peace that passes understanding, knowing the cost of its obtaining. Because that is what I sent my son to give. And in your peacemaking, you become my daughter or son. I bless even those things in your experience of journeying with me that feel like persecution and abuse and misunderstanding, because they are the proof that your faith is no illusion. These, Lord, surely are your original blessings that precede and supersede my original sin and assure me that your peace, your joy, your love are so much larger than my fearing and my failing. This is the gospel of the Lord. Amen.
One of the marks of discipleship is giving back to God a percentage of all that he has given to us. And it is now possible to show your discipleship by giving via the website. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where the rust and moth doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither rust nor moth doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. All things come of thee, and of thine own do we give thee. Let us pray for the whole state of Christchurch Militant here on earth. Almighty and ever-living God, who by thy holy apostle has taught us to make prayers and supplications and to give thanks for all people, we humbly beseech thee most mercifully to accept our alms and oblations and to receive these our prayers, which we offer unto thy divine majesty, beseeching thee to inspire continually the universal church with the spirit of truth, unity and concord, and grant that all they that do confess thy holy name may agree in the truth of thy holy word and live in unity and godly love. We beseech thee also to save and defend all Christian kings, princes and governors, and specially thy servant Elizabeth our queen, that under her we may be godly and quietly governed, and grant unto her whole council and to all that are put in authority under her, that they may truly and impartially minister justice to the punishment of wickedness and vice, and to the maintenance of thy true religion and virtue. Give grace, O Heavenly Father, to all bishops, priests, and deacons, that they may, both by their life and doctrine, set forth thy true and lively word, and rightly and duly administer thy holy sacraments. And to all thy people, give thy heavenly grace, and specially to this congregation present online, that with meek heart and due reverence they may hear and receive thy holy word, truly serving thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of their life. And we most humbly beseech thee of thy goodness, O Lord, to comfort and succour all them who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity. And we also bless thy holy name, for all thy servants departed this life in thy faith and fear, beseeching thee to give us grace, so to follow their good example, that with them we may be partakers of thy heavenly kingdom. Grant this, O Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, our only mediator and advocate. Amen. Ye that do truly and earnestly repent you of your sins, and are in love and charity with your neighbours, and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God, and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith, and take this holy sacrament to your comfort, and make your humble confession to Almighty God, meekly kneeling upon your knees. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Maker of all things, Judge of all men, we acknowledge and bewail our manifold sins and wickedness, which we from time to time most grievously have committed, by thought, word, and deed, against thy divine majesty, provoking most justly thy wrath and indignation against us. We do earnestly repent, and are heartily sorry for these our misdoings. The remembrance of them is grievous unto us, the burden of them is intolerable. Have mercy upon us, have mercy upon us, most merciful Father, for thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may ever hereafter serve and please thee in newness of life, to the honour and glory of thy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of his great mercy hath promised forgiveness of sins, to all them that with hearty repentance and true faith turn unto him, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what comfortable words our Saviour Christ saith unto all that truly turn to him. Come unto me, all that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. So God loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, to the end that all that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hear also what St. Paul saith. This is a true saying, and worthy of all to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Hear also what St. John saith. If anyone sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. The Lord be with you, and with thy spirit. Lift up your hearts, we lift them up unto the Lord. Let us give thanks unto our Lord God. It is meet and right so to do. It is very meet, right, and our band and duty, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty, everlasting God. And now we give thee thanks, because thou didst send him to redeem us from sin and death, and to make us inheritors of everlasting life. And when he shall come again in power and great triumph to judge the world, we may with joy behold his appearing, and in confidence may stand before him. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Glory be to thee, O Lord Most High. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And so we pray together. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of thy tender mercy didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made thereby his one oblation of himself once offered, a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation, and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world, and did institute, and in his holy gospel command us to continue, a perpetual memory of that his precious death until his coming again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we most humbly beseech thee, and grant that we, receiving these thy creatures of bread and wine, according to thy Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood. Who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it. and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many, for the remission of sins. Do this as oft as ye shall drink it, in remembrance of me." O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, grant us thy peace. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for thee, preserve thy body and soul unto everlasting life. Amen. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for us, preserve our bodies and souls unto everlasting life. Amen. As our Saviour Christ commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Almighty and ever-living God, we most heartily thank thee for that thou dost vouchsafe to feed us, who have duly received spiritually these holy mysteries, with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of thy Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, and dost assure us thereby of thy favour and goodness towards us, and that we are very members incorporate in the mystical body of thy Son, which is the blessed company of all faithful people, and are also heirs through hope of thy everlasting kingdom, by the merits of the most precious death and passion of thy dear Son. And we most humbly beseech thee, O Heavenly Father, so to assist us with thy grace, that we may continue in that holy fellowship, and do all such good works as thou hast prepared for us to walk in, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Ghost be all honour and glory, world without end. Amen. May the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen.